Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I do my little cultural history every morning, right? And that movie Private Benjamin came out in 1980,
okay? Right.
When the idea of women in the military was sort of a funny, silly, kind of entertaining, but kind of a toe-in-the-water sort of an issue. 1997, G.I. Jane was all about Demi Moore shaving her head and going into combat. And again, that was a tough issue. A decade after that, okay, we have two wars going, and as I said at the top of the hour, more than a quarter of a million women having actually fought in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The military is a completely different institution than it was even as recently as a decade ago. Joining us to talk about what that means for medical care, disparities in medical care, what women need in the Veterans Administration and as active duty service people lining up along with the rest of the soldiers for very special medical care. Are the needs being met? We've got Anu Bhagwati, who is a former Marine captain, executive director of the Service Women's Action Network. She's in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Anne Brown, of course, we spoke with a moment ago. She's director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and has reported to us, it sounded to me like a 100% rise in the number of women that you are treating compared to a decade ago. Is that fair to say?
Well, we've seen a doubling in the number of veterans we're seeing, but the percentage increase is much larger.
Right. All right, Anu, what do people that you serve in the Women's Action Network, what do they advocate for? What are they needing in terms of service at the VA and at medical facilities that serve women soldiers?
Well, we're an advocacy and direct services organization that deals with all human rights needs of both servicewomen and women veterans. And most of our clients and also colleagues would agree that the VA has a long way to go in improving services for specifically women, but for also generally for the entire veterans population. Even though we've got almost a quarter of a million women veterans from just OEF, OIF, Afghanistan and Iraq conflicts, the culture of the VA has yet to catch up to those numbers. There's still a shortage of female physicians, female counselors, military sexual trauma counselors, PTSD groups that are gender specific, and that would be PTSD that's related to combat or to military sexual trauma. And so we're seeing that, as far as actually accessing services at VA hospitals, it's really hit or miss. You could go to you can have an awful experience at one VA hospital and then a decent experience at the next. So it really depends sometimes on where you live and what you have access to.
Anne Brown, if you go into a facility like yours in Martinsburg, West Virginia, what needs are you going to be looking for if you're a woman? And as Anu has described, it's hit or miss at the VA from her perspective. What are the omissions that you might see at facilities around the country?
Well, as Anna said, it is hit or miss. And here in Martinsburg, we are addressing some of those issues with the military sexual trauma and the gender-specific PTSD. But some of the things that we're adding that hasn't been provided is one location for females to come to receive their primary care and their mental health care. And what we're trying to do is provide those services in one location so that the veteran doesn't have to go all over the hospital with the majority of men that come into the VA hospitals. And some of the gender-specific things that we're providing are bone density scans.
For osteoporosis, of course, right?
Yes, yep. That's correct. Colposcopy services within the Well Women's Clinic. We're looking into providing mammographies and obstetric services into the future. So as she mentioned, we do have a way to go, and we're looking at meeting those needs.
Anne Brown is director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center there in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
And Anu, I mean, as a former Marine captain, obviously what I can only imagine you've been through, but it seems to me like this is a pretty urgent need here. I mean, for women, it's hard enough this is the most intimate of services, and it's hard enough to go in there with emotional trauma, especially stemming from sexual assault or something you may have experienced, but to go in there and have a system which is very male-centric, where you're not seeing female nurses or physicians, where they maybe don't even have an obstetrician. I mean, this is that would probably discourage people from even going in and getting treatment.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a little too much optimism as it concerns kind of this flood of OEF, OIF veterans using VA hospitals. I mean,
when you say
many,
OIF, just acronym.
Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. Okay. Right. Thank you. And, you know, for a lot of women who've been traumatized by the military, so whether they've experienced sexual harassment, discrimination, or sexual assault or rape at the other extreme, you know, just the idea of entering a VA hospital is traumatizing. So often what happens is, you know, simply the idea of having an appointment will trigger a traumatic episode. I mean, only 15% of women veterans are using VA hospitals.
Really?
15%.
So they're choosing to opt out because of some of these cultural issues. And how did that relate to your own experience?
I mean, you know, I experienced overt harassment and discrimination throughout my 5 years in the Marines, and that was as an officer. And enlisted Marines, you know, and soldiers have it much worse than officers. You know, I chose to use the VA about 2 years into my, you know, my transition as a veteran, and was extremely traumatized. You know, it's like running a gauntlet, just entering the lobby. You know, you sort of you go through this sea of Vietnam era veterans who again, you know, are not used to seeing the numbers of women in the military. So, you know, there's this cultural issue of and a generational issue, but, you know, sort of the catcalling, you know, being called
they're
honey,
catcalling
darling.
You in the hospital lobby.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hit or miss. You know, some hospitals are better than others, but it's not just a patient-to-patient issue. I mean, the larger problems I have are with administrative and medical staff who, again, simply don't understand that women are in the military. You know, where we're here to stay, but we have gender-specific issues. You know, we're not special veterans, but there are certain things they need to know about. They need to know that military sexual trauma exists. And even for women who don't self-identify as MST survivors, they have gone through, a whole set of experiences which can be potentially re-traumatizing.
Well, Anne Brown, what is the investment that's going to be required to equalize this or to begin to address this? I mean, we've seen for all service personnel a sense of catch-up, even on the PTSD issue for all genders in dealing with some of these medical issues from Iraq and Afghanistan. It sounds like even more of a catch-up game for women.
Yes, that's true, and we are addressing those issues, and we're training our providers in military sexual trauma. We're bringing in the women providers to provide this. We're developing advocacy groups within all of the hospitals to bring the women together and tell us what they need. We have created outreach to our, especially here in Martinsburg. We're a rural hospital. We are hiring female nurse practitioners that go out and do outreach into the community to find these individuals. We screen all of the OEF, OIF veterans coming back to see if they have military sexual trauma.
It's an ambitious, ambitious agenda, and I guess the takeaway really is to try to improve that 15% number that Anu was talking about. Women need to more voluntarily self-identify that the VA has services available to them. And as you say, Anne Brown, this is something over a lifetime. These are issues for women who are aging that the hospitals are going to have to be prepared for. Anne Brown is director of the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Anu Bhagwati is former Marine captain and executive director of the Service Women's Action Network. Thanks to both of you discussing a disparity between the medical care for women service people at the VA and men. Thanks so much.